The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
All right, I'm ready to record this doohickey thingy.
All right. This week on Dueling Review, we review Ghostbusters International number 1, written by Eric Burnham, art by Dan Schoening. There's something strange in the neighborhood, and whether that neighborhood is in New York City or Venice, Italy, the Ghostbusters will be there. After a bust at the United Nations, the boys in gray are engaged to investigate an old world haunting, where they begin to unravel a mystery that sends them around the globe while still trying to keep their contact with the city, county, and state of New York. Join us for the next chapter in Ghostbusters history, because you demanded it. Ghostbusters International.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews. Stephen Schleicher here with you, along with Matthew Peterson this week. And
howdy.
You know, the last time we reviewed Ghostbusters on this show was the last Ghostbusters issue.
Seriously?
Little break, and then it picks up that Ghostbusters annual that we took a look at, where they were fighting the Sandman, or the Sleeper Man, or whatever his name was. Sandman, I believe. Was actually the issue previous to this. And now, having gotten their act together, the Ghostbusters are back in New York and are ready to bust some heads.
And some ghosts.
Problem is, they got called down to the UN, the United Nations building in New York, in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of busting some ghosts, Egon gets a little damage. He gets spat upon.
Yes.
And then the apparently the
acid spit.
The acid spit. What are the? Yes. What was the first UN, the failed one?
The League of Nations.
League of Nations. So the ghosts of the League of Nations show up and are like, no,
no.
I'm not sure it's the League of Nations, but I would like to think that the first failed United Nations are the ghosts of the UN.
That's funny.
But there happens to be a question of how much they're billing and what they're doing and how busy they are all the time. And Virgin Atlantic guy shows up.
at least that's what
he looks like.
Well, yes, he does look like he looks actually like Virgin Atlantic guy as played by Ed Begley Jr.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah. definitely it's
Erland Winter is
what
his
is
name.
What is his name? Virgin Atlantic.
Oh, Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, yeah. Shows up with a blank check and is basically like, hey guys, I want to have a conversation with you about what we can do together. I want to buy the Ghostbusters. And presumably, take it international. But it is interesting what's gone on in the Ghostbusters universe, including the expansion of several Ghostbusters and the expansion of Adiklis, who gets a job as the who is in charge of all of the contracts and negotiations that the Ghostbusters do in New York City to make sure that everything's on the up and up.
He's the head of the PCOC.
Yes.
That is.
That's the Paranormal Contracts Oversight Committee, I think.
Yeah.
Paranormal Contracts Oversight Committee.
And he still hates Pete.
Yes, with a
passion.
That's
what's important. Yes. And I think the addition of Walter Peck here is interesting. They also apparently had a crossover recently where they met the Ghostbusters from the real
That was the Ghostbusters Get Real series, which came out just before the annual. So
and this is all in continuity.
This is all in continuity, which is so really weird.
Tying together threads of all the Ghostbusters media that we've seen, including bringing back Walter Peck in this role, Janine being a Ghostbuster. Kylie, who I believe was one of the Ghostbusters from the 90s Extreme Ghostbusters, is in this.
It's real fascinating. This week on Munchkinland, we recorded a bunch of the Ghostbusters games from Cryptozoic, and the game incorporates elements from the movies, the TV show, the animated series, the comic books, the video games, and they're basically saying it's all in continuity. So I cannot wait to see what happens when the new Ghostbusters movie comes out and how that then ties back into this, because I think that will be interesting. But what did you think of this story, Matthew? What did you think of this story about the new chapter of the Ghostbusters and possibly getting bought out by Richard Branson?
It's a solid first issue. I feel like they did a really good job of introducing everybody. The characters that we know as Dan Aykroyd and, you know, Peter Venkman as Bill Murray, these characters are, I don't want to say iconic because iconic has, you know, overtones, but they're iconic. And there's nothing in this issue where I didn't hear Ray Stantz, where I didn't hear Peter Venkman going, everybody has five mortgages these days.
Yeah.
It's a really solid issue. The only thing that I am bothered by is the art is very weird, especially about Winston's face.
Well, and it's also, to be honest, I think the four Ghostbusters characters are super characterized, you know, caricatures of themselves where their faces look super rubbery.
Right.
And then you have other characters like when Ray goes to do his tarot reading. It's like weird cartoony face against a face of the fortune teller who looks mostly normal. Right. Yeah. Even when you get introduced to Venter.
Yes.
He has a fairly normal face, but the Ghostbusters themselves, super cartoony.
Yeah, highly stylized. And part of that, I believe, may have to do with likeness rights.
Well, but I mean, you can still draw people that look like people.
Right.
And have them be more in line with everybody else in the book without having to pay a likeness rights.
Well, and if you look at, you know, Egon's forelock is like 2 feet tall. I don't know. What it really breaks down for me is, it feels like the designs for the characters, the main characters, were done by an artist and said, okay, here's the designs for our Ghostbusters. And then someone else is now drawing a world.
Well, you know
them.
What? That actually could be right, because if you're licensing this, and again, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Matthew and I are speculating here. IDW, please give me a call, or the artist can give me a call and we can chat about this. In fact, I'd love to chat with you about this and include it in an upcoming episode of something. But it could be when they were doing the licensing rights for this, there's a model of here's what Venkman, Stantz, Zedmore, and Spangler must look like.
Right.
And just like in the Archie comics, here's the model that you have to draw to. And then when you start introducing other characters who are not on model or can be interpreted a little bit differently, maybe that's when the artist starts putting in their influence into the art. And I could definitely see that as a big deal.
Yeah. And to some degree, it works. It reminds me of, you know, the anime conceit, not anime, but the manga conceit where you have a cartoonish main character in a super realistic world and a super realistic background that draws your main character out and makes them stand out. It's just not a technique we see a lot in American comics. And I won't say that it's super distracting, but it is definitely something that you notice in this issue.
I think it's most noticeable and most distracting when you do an extreme close-up. Like I said, at the fortune-telling place where one panel is Ray, one panel is the girl, then back to Ray, and it's like, whoa, those are some different kinds of faces and noses. His eyes look like cartoon eyes. Her eyes look like realistic eyes.
When Ray and Winston and Pete are out having beers together, there's another example of a hyper detailed background with normal looking people in the background and the three of them, you know, looking like they're drawn by Peter Chung. Again, it's not bad. It's just something that you do notice. And I don't know that I don't even know that it's off-putting, but it,
I'm wondering if in some book series somewhere it was addressed in some way, shape, or form.
This is how they look, and this is their face. You will have them now.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you like this issue?
I did. I like the story. I like the breakdown, and I feel like it has a lot of little bits and hooks. There's a lot of things going on that make it feel like an ongoing story set in the Ghostbusters universe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do like that.
And it does have that big hook at the end. I don't know if that was Slimer in the microwave in Egon's apartment.
No, it's not. It's not Slimer. It's some other ghost. it's a level one.
Oh,
just a class one.
A class one free roaming vapor.
Yep.
But yeah, I really like the breakdown of characters here. I like Walter Peck in the role that he's in, and I like that splash page. Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't like is it feels like the solicit actually solicits events that didn't yet happen in the series. And the solicit that, you know, I read at the top of this particular program references events that I don't think are yet in the book, which that is a thing for me. I'm really bothered by solicits that give you too much. So.
Well, and especially if this is the thing that you're going to be doing for the entire arc. I mean, if they're describing the arc, I think it lands it. But yeah, you're right. It could potentially spoil some of this issue or over promise and under deliver kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But as far as the issue goes, I mean, this is fun. I mean, I like the Ghostbusters. I'm not probably as big a fan of the Ghostbusters as a lot of people are. Now, Rob, I was telling him, I was like, oh, Rob, Ghostbusters International comes out this week. He's like, really? And he got super excited about it. This is like his book that he is most excited about reading this week. He loves Ghostbusters, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles type stuff. And, you know, when you read this, I don't think you have to be a hardcore fan of Ghostbusters to enjoy it and appreciate it. I mean, I don't know all about the side universes and the extreme Ghostbusters or the girl Ghostbusters teams or anything like that. But there's enough in here, especially when they have a Dramatis Personae section that tells you, here are the characters you're going to meet in this show. Here's what they're doing. And here's what happened in the story before this issue takes place.
That was truly wonderful.
I've said it before with Marvel Comics especially when I was getting into Spider-Man again after a hiatus, that the previously in pages in comics today are the single most important section of a comic book for anyone who is stepping into this book, whether it be in the middle of an arc or at the beginning of a story of a new arc or whatever. This is what gets your readers caught up on what they need to know so they can go into this book and enjoy it. And if more comic publishers, DC Comics, would get on board with this, then I think we would see more people ready to jump into issue 620 of a series if they can say, oh, here are the principal characters that I need to know. Here's what's come on before. Boom. Done. So I really appreciate that, and it does help my enjoyment of this particular issue as well.
So, and I think that is a major factor in why I would recommend this particular issue is it gives you everything. It breaks down all of the major characters you see, and it tells you where they are in their story. And that is incredibly helpful, especially if you don't know who Kylie is.
Mm-hmm.
Kylie is identified on that front page inside the cover. It says, this is Kylie. This is what Kylie does. And now here's a story that features Kylie in it. That's great.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. So it looks like Ghostbusters International number one from both Matthew and I are big thumbs up this week.
Word.
Yes, sir. All right. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, Angel and Faith season 10, number 23. That's pretty exciting. Barbed Wire number 8. Gigantomaxia. Is that what it is? Gigantomaxia trade paperback. No idea what that's about. Joe Gollum, Occult Detective number 4, Lone Wolf 2100 number 2. Sherlock Holmes Crime Alley's hardcover. Those are some of the books from Dark Horse Comics. Next week from DC Comics is 48 Week, Batgirl number 48, mm-hmm. Flash 48. Mm-hmm. Oh, Green Lantern is in 49. That's weird. They have a double week. Green Arrow is also 49.
Lantern.
Huh, interesting. So 48 or 49, depending on where you're looking. Although, yeah, okay, I can see how that works out. Superman, The Coming of the Supermen, number 1. Swamp Thing number 2, Telos number 5, mm-hmm. Unfollow number 4. That's a mature reader's book. IDW Publishing has Amazing Forest number 2. That's an anthology series. Dirk Gently and A Spoon Too Short number 1. That ought to be fun. Back to the Future, number 5. Orphan Black, Helsinki, number 4. I'm just waiting. Talking about the other shoe to fall. Star Trek, Starfleet Academy, number 3. Uncle Scrooge, number 11. And X-Files, season 11, number 7, which is kind of odd because, what is it, season 10 now on TV?
Yes.
Image Comics has a Paper Girls, number 5. You missed your chance. I gave you a whole 30 seconds air there that you could fill in. Saints, number 5.
Hey, Steven.
Shudder, number 18. Spawn.
What did one vampire say to the other vampire?
Spawn, 260. Walking Dead, number 151, and Wicked and Divine Trade Paperback, Volume 3. Marvel Comics has The A-Force. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, we're going to get sued. Amazing Spider-Man, number 7. Captain America, Sam Wilson. You know, there's going to be two Captain Americas. That's something we didn't talk about this week.
There's like 6 Captain Americas, man.
What did you think of this announcement that Steve Rogers is coming back and he's got a brand new shield?
Rogers back with a brand new shield and something.
Sam Wilson still sticking around.
Got the original shield and wings off ground. Woo! Thank you. I can rap. No, I don't have a problem with it. I didn't expect anything different. I'm honestly surprised they went as far as they did with Steve on the bench. So, you know, kudos there. Having two Spider-Men in the same universe doesn't bother them. Having, you know, multiple She-Hulks and multiple Captains Marvel,
Multiple Ironmans, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's okay. It's for, you know, it's that let's give somebody something
what they want. See, that's the key right there.
There are 3 monthly Spider-Woman books.
Really? Invincible Iron Man, number 6. Howard the Duck, number 4.
And there's Silk, who is a Spider-Woman.
Well, okay, but they're not all the same character.
Well, they're not all named Spider-Woman.
Oh, see, that's what I mean.
2 of them are.
Yes, all right. Nova, number 4, Obi-Wan and Anakin, number 2, Scarlet Witch, number 3, Spider-Man, number 1, and Spidey, number 3, and Amazing Spider-Man, number 7. Who do you think has more titles? What do you consider? This came up this week in Twitter. Somebody asked about new characters and not derivatives of or in the same family as. What do you consider same family as? Batgirl would be in the same family as Batman.
Mm-hmm. So would Grayson, I think. You get into that weird realm of, is Gotham Academy a Batman?
Right, right. Yeah, because if you're talking about new, I mean, is it? I mean, Batman rarely shows up. I guess that's the thing that I'm saying is, if you're looking at, if I were to ask the question, who has the most books? Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, or Wolverine?
Batman.
You think?
Yeah, because they have made a conscious effort to try and keep Spider-Man in that same 4 times a month or twice a month, whatever
right,
it is,
right.
Continuity. Whereas Batman has multiple titles, and Batman has books that kind of trade on Gotham City and the Batman legacy, like Robin War.
Right, but Grayson really has nothing to do with Batman anymore. It's Dick being super spy guy.
But they still pull him into Bat Family crossovers like Robin War.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, it'd be tough to say which character appears the most in comics, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, or Wolverine.
Well, Wolverine right now is intentionally shortchanged.
Right.
Yeah, but he's still not. I mean, he's in 2 X titles.
Dead no more.
And girl Wolverine is in her book kind of kicking ass, to be honest. I'm enjoying Girlverine a lot more.
I'm just really curious to see which one is the... I'm sure you're right about Batman, because that's who I would guess. But then when you're looking at Amazing Spider-Man, and these are just the ones that have Spider-Man or Spider-Girl or whatever in the title. Spider-Man, Silk, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man, Spidey, Superior Foes of Spider... That's an omnibus, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 5 titles coming out in 1 week that have Spider-Man in it or Spider family-related things.
Right.
If we look at DC Comics, we have Batgirl, Batman 66 Meets the Man from U.N.C.L.E., Batman and Robin Eternal, Batman Beyond, number 9, Batman Europa, number 4, Detective Comics 49, so that's 6, it's already beating that by 1. I'm not going to count JLA. Gods and Monsters or Injustice, even though they may have a Batman in it, it's not in the title.
Right.
So yeah, it's pretty closely tied between the spiders and the bats.
Spider bat.
That's weird.
That's whatever.
I mean, I understand Batman's the most popular and most important and most awesome character ever created. But it's just interesting to see that and what people put their eggs in which superhero basket each week. Next week on Dueling Review, from legendary writer-artist Neil Adams comes a threat so epic it will take more than one man of steel to handle it. It's this new 6-issue miniseries, Superman, The Coming of the Supermen #1. As Darkseid and the hordes of Apocalypse lay waste to the world, even Superman is overwhelmed, but not for long, as three heroes from the miniaturized city of Kandor emerge at full-sized, armed with the vast powers of Kal-El, ready to become the new Supermen. The Battle of Titans also features the machinations of Lex Luthor, plus fan favorites Jimmy Olsen, Lois Lane, aiding in the fight for truth, justice, and the American way. And let's not forget the expanding Earth. Mm-hmm. You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important patron at members.majorspoilers.com. If you like this show, kick in a few bucks each month. $2, $5, $10 a month helps us go a long way to keeping this show alive and motivating us to do even more. Matthew, thank you so much for being on the show this week. You can follow him at Mighty King Cobra. You can follow Major Spoilers at Major Spoilers. Thank you for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you'll hear Matthew say,
Look out for that helicopter.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.